You see, brothers and sisters, when I'm aligned with God, and I need you to see the power of alignment, that when I'm aligned with God, I have all the resources of heaven available to me. That when I'm aligned with God, everything that God is and everything that is at God's disposal is at my disposal.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for the conclusion of Part 8, More Than Conquerors. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Part 8 of More Than Conquerors.
Took a bite of the fruit. The second he got misaligned, what was the first thing? Let's put it this way. The first recorded words to come out of his mouth, an excuse. Wow. The first words to come out of his mouth were an excuse. The woman that you gave me. First words that come out of his mouth when he got misaligned. So you see, excuses, and I'm going to share this in a second. Excuses are misalignments with God. When we make excuses, we are actually misaligned with God. And so furthermore, we see this misalignment in what happened to man. So the spiritual image, right? The spiritual image became marred. We got messed up. Man, I'll tell you what, excuse me for using this word, right? But we got jacked up, man. Yeah, we got jacked up. When we got misaligned with God, the spiritual image, it was marred. Because now, instead of people worshiping God, what do? They worship demons. They're involved in the occult. They have pride, narcissism. You know, the whole spiritual thing has been messed up. What about morally? We got messed up morally, right? Here we were, these moral beings created in the image of God. Now what do we see? Pornography, fornication, adultery, alcoholism, drug addiction, sexual identity issues. Man, we got messed up. Morally, we got misaligned morally. We got misaligned intellectually, because now what do we see? Instead of us having that mental connection with God, we got phobias, we got bipolar, we got obsessive compulsive disorders, we got suicide, we got ADD, we got schizophrenia, we got anorexia. What happened? Why do people deal with that stuff? See, you know, psychologists try to give us all these things, and you know, thank God for the psychologists and the psychiatrists, because they can tell us things from a human perspective. They can tell us what is going on from a human perspective. But see, a lot of times, you know, we are working and we are addressing a wrong issue, because we sometimes address a human issue, and we need to be addressing a spiritual issue, right? So again, I'm not saying that you know, people that have these issues, that you need to seek help, you know, and you need, so I'm saying it from the pulpit here at Bethany Baptist Church, so that nobody goes out and misquotes me. I'm saying that you may need to see a psychiatrist. You may need to see a psychologist, you know, to get medication or get things that you need. You may need to do that. So I'm not disregarding that. But what I'm saying too is that, you know, they're only going to hit the human. They're only going to hit the intellectual. They're only going to hit the emotional, and they're not going to hit that spiritual part of you, that spiritual part, all right? Authoritative, you know, that has been marred. How has that been marred? That God gave man, woman, authority in the earth. Psalm 8, it says that he put them to rule over all his creation. But man has taken that authority, what? And has had sexual relationships with their sons and their daughters. Incest. Man has taken that spiritual authority that God has given, and now what do we have? We have all type of abuse. That, you know, when you look at an abusive situation, what is it? It's usually an authoritative person that's abusing a person that doesn't have the same authority. We see sexual abuse. We see physical abuse. We see emotional abuse. Why is it? Because man is jacked up, right? Because he's jacked up, all right? We see the social image, that there's supposed to be sweet fellowship, you know, between the Trinity, and there's sweet fellowship supposed to be between human beings. But now what do we see? We see family conflicts. We see divorce. We see antisocial disorders. So all this stuff is an indication that we are misaligned. And so kind of the premise of all I've been saying is that excuses are indications of misalignment, right? Excuses are indications of misalignment. That when I say something is going to be too hard, that God has told me to do, and I say it's too hard, that's misalignment. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can't afford it. I hear it all the time. I'm not trying to get on anybody in here, but you know, one of the main reasons that I hear people say they don't want to go on a mission trip because they don't have the money, right? Right? That's one of the main reasons that I hear. But if God told you to do it, oh, my God, where's my amen people at? Right? I told y'all, man, I'm going to go down on the corner, man, and hire me some guys down there. I'm just going to pay them. Just to come sit in front of me. All I want y'all to do is say amen, man. Right? My God shall supply all your needs. If God calls you to do something, if God wants you to do something, he's going to supply the needs. That's a misalignment. When you say, if God told you to do it, now if God didn't tell you to do it, that's another story. But if God told you to do it and you come up with an excuse that I can't, that's a misalignment. I'm too old. That's a misalignment. Caleb was 85 years old. He said, give me that mountain. Right? So, you know, again, I'm not saying that, you know, God is telling you to do something beyond your physical abilities, you know, because I realize that the older you get, right, sometimes this old body ain't what it used to be. You know, I'll be honest with you, man, I used to be able to bend steel with my bare hands. I was more powerful than a locomotive, faster than a speeding bullet, able to leap tall buildings with a single bound. Look up in the sky. Right? But I'm saying, you know, if you feel in your spirit that God is calling you to do something, you know, he's going to give you the strength to do it. You know, Caleb was 85 years old, and he said, give me that mountain. I'm too young. God commissioned Jeremiah when he was a child. Jeremiah 1:7, I'm too busy. You know, I love Jesus because on the night before Jesus died, there was a whole lot of people that weren't healed. A whole lot of people that didn't receive their sight, a whole lot of people that still had demons in them. But when Jesus prayed on the night before he was crucified and he went to the cross, he said, Father, I have finished the work that you have given me to do. And too busy. What work has God given me to do? Well, let's be very simple about one thing. I can't go into some of maybe your career and stuff like that, but let's be simple about one thing that we know that God has given us to do, and that's spend time with him. Nobody can argue with that. Nobody can argue with that. If you argue with that, I'm not going to question your salvation, but yeah, we're going to take away your baptismal card. No. Right? You can't argue with that we are supposed to spend time with God. And if I say that I'm too busy to spend time with God, look, I'm standing in front of the cross, right? Look, if I say I'm too busy to spend time with God, that's a misalignment. That's a misalignment because that's what I'm supposed to do. That's what God wants me to do. It'll take too long. Moses was on the backside of the desert 40 years. Getting ready to do what God wanted him to do. I have limitations, don't have abilities. Gideon, he went from hiding to leading Israel into battle. Other people are against me. I hear this one all the time. I hear this one all the time. If I've heard it once, I've heard it a million times. That the man is keeping me down. That I can't get ahead. that this happened to me when I was growing up. This happened to me when I was a child, right? Well, you look at Joseph. You know, Joseph, he was sold into slavery. He was, first of all, he was hated by his brothers, right? And so you can imagine, before they even put him into a pit and sold him into slavery, man, there must have been, he must have caught it before, you know, he even got put in the pit. Because they just looked for the opportunity to dispose of him, right? So all this other stuff, you can think, oh, man, here comes that dreamer again, right? Oh, man, here comes this guy, man. You know, I wish he would just go on somewhere. Well, go get out of here, man, you know? And so, you know, he probably dealt with that. Then he was put in a pit. He was sold into slavery. Potiphar's wife accused him of trying to seduce her, and then he was put in jail. How much more can you have go wrong against you? But yet and still, he was second command in Egypt. You know, again, when you line up with God, no excuse. I'm afraid. You know, think about Peter. You know, Peter went from denying Christ and hiding to on the day of Pentecost, he preached and 3,000 people got saved. Why? Because he lined up with God. And so this leads me to say, how do we get lined up, right? Like, you know, we were lined up at one point, then we got misaligned, and now we can get lined up again. And how do we get lined up? You know, we get lined up, first of all, you know, as I said, you know, by accepting Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, and by living in that intimate relationship with God. That's how we get lined up. But notice, God has also given us tools for realignment. Look at, he has given us what? He has given us his word. Paul told Timothy that all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Why did God give us his word? Why do we have the Bible? How come God, he could have just said, okay, I'm just going to leave you on your own to fend for yourself. But he gave us the Bible to watch this. He gave us the Bible so that what? Realign us. So I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. That's a part of the realignment. I'm walking in intimacy with God. That's a part of the realignment. I have God's word. I have God's precious word that guides me and directs me and tells me, as it says right here, it says that it's instruction for righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be perfect. That means mature, that you might be brought up to a place of maturity in your alignment, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All good. He's given us his power. He's given us the Holy Spirit that lives in us and empowers us in this whole idea of realignment. 2 Peter 1:3. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, that he has given us his divine power. That I don't have to walk around in my flesh trying to live this victorious life. That all I have to do is tap into the power of the Holy Spirit. That I have the Holy Spirit that's living in me. I have the Holy Spirit that's aligning me with God. He's aligning me with God. So all I need to do is let the Holy Spirit flow out of me, and I'll be in alignment with God. You know, when I think about it, we're saved to be aligned. We're to be intimate to be aligned. We have the word of God to be aligned. We have the power of God to be aligned. And I hear God in heaven, I hear God saying this: what more can I do? What more can I do? I mean, I've done just about everything for you. And all you got to do is walk in this thing, man. You know, I've shared with you how this series has just touched my life and it has challenged me in so many ways. And you know, as I look at things, and you know, probably, you know, I've said this before, you know, I probably share what they say, too MI, right? Too much information. But you know, many of you know that I've been struggling, you know, with diabetes. So I'm just gonna get it out. I'm just gonna say it, right? And since I've been in this series, you know, I've looked at diabetes as that lion, right? That's in the way between me and good health. You know, that's the lion. And I said, man, I got to overcome this lion. And you know what I've been telling myself? I said, either the word works or don't. Either I'm a conqueror or I'm not a conqueror. Now, again, you know, there may be some health situations that we have, you know, that we can't control, right? But if there's some things that we can control, that we need to do whatever we can. So I'm just saying, I'm on the way. I'm going to give a testimony one day, you know, about how I beat it. But I'm just saying that so far, this series that I've been preaching, I've been saying, now again, I try to let the word, whenever I preach a series, I try to let it speak to my heart and try to live it. But, you know, this one right here has been, I don't know, for some reason, one that has just stuck in my spirit. And I'm saying, man, you know, come on, Bill. You know, if you're a conqueror, you need to walk like a conqueror. You need to have the mindset of a conqueror. You know, I think I shared that Bible study a couple weeks ago that, you know, even this area of debt. You know, I was, you know, looking for some articles on conquering, and I ran across this article, and it says, how to conquer debt. That anybody in here, if you're in debt, you got to be a conqueror. Now, either, you know, you're going to submit and let debt have the victory over you, right? Or you're going to conquer it, right? You're going to conquer it. And I shared this. I said the first thing, there were five things, five ways to overcome debt, right? If you want the article, I'll send it to you. I'm just going to give you the first one. The first point, you got to get mad at debt. So you know what that was saying to me? That was saying that you got to see debt as an enemy, right? I mean, really, you have to see debt as an enemy if you want to conquer it. And so, you know, you look at the word and you got to ask yourself, man, if God has given me his word, if God has given me his power, then I ought to be able to conquer the things that he wants me to conquer. God given tools for realignment. And then I'm going to say this. Got two big words here, and I'm going to break these words down, and then we're going to move on. Propitiation. When we think of, you know, what this big word means, it actually means to appease or to satisfy, right? And so, you know, let me give this example, and that you might, this might help you, right? Remember watching the old movies when they would have like Zeus and Hercules and all those gods, and then there would be thunder in the sky. And they would say that the gods are angry. And then you would have to do what? You would have to give a sacrifice to appease the gods. Well, that's what propitiation is. Whether we want to believe it or not, God is angry at sin. Psalm 7:11 says, God is angry with the wicked every day. 7:11. In Romans chapter 1, it said that the wrath of God is poured out against unrighteousness. And so God is angry. He loves us, right? But he's angry. God is angry at sin. When he sees sin, it makes him angry. And somebody got to pay for sin. Somebody got to feel the wrath of God's anger. Well, if God's such a loving God, then why would he punish anybody? Why would he let anybody go to hell? Well, I'm getting ready to tell you, he don't want anybody to go to hell. But he's made a way for you not to go to hell. Right? And so propitiation. And so I'm back to my illustration, right? Some of you, if you've been here at a long time, you've heard me give this illustration, right? There's two angels. I'm telling you, this is propitiation. Remember this example, then you'll remember what propitiation is, right? Two angels in a truck, and on the side of the truck, it says the wrath of God. And that they're looking for sin. And wherever they see sin, they boom, run it over. They see sinners, boom, they run them over. They see Bill Clay. Oh, man, look at Bill, man. He used to do this and he used to do that. Man, he was one of the biggest sinners in the world. Let's get him. And so the truck was coming my way with the wrath of God on the side of it. And I was going to take the full brunt of God's wrath. And I turned around and looked, and I saw the truck coming, and I said, ah! And Jesus pushed me out of the way. Amen. And the truck hit him. That's propitiation. And because of propitiation, we have been realized. Because Jesus paid for the wrath, that we have been realigned. That's reconciliation. The death of Christ satisfied the wrath of God, which moved him to put man in a position of reconciliation, which put man back in alignment with God. That's how we got aligned, through Jesus Christ. That I can be aligned with God, and that if I'm aligned with God, all the resources of heaven are available to me. If you go over a couple slides, keep going, right there. I'm gonna close with this right here. George Washington Carver, look what it says about him. Was aligned with God through intimacy. He rose early every morning to walk and talk with God. Each day he would ask God and seek the Lord on how he was to spend the day and any lessons that he could learn. George Washington Carver walked in intimacy with God. He encouraged the farmers in the South. Instead of planting cotton, he encouraged them to plant sweet potatoes and peanuts instead of cotton. And when he did this, it didn't work out so well. And so a lot of the farmers started losing money. And George Washington Carver, you know, felt bad that he had led them to plant sweet potatoes and peanuts. What did I say about George Washington Carver? He was aligned with God. He rose early every morning to walk and talk with God. Each day he would ask God, seek the Lord on how he was to spend the day and any lesson that he could learn. George Washington Carver, when that happened, he got on his knees. And he cried out to God. And he said, Mr. Creator, why did you make the peanut? And after that, God showed him over 300 uses for the peanut. Over 100 uses for the sweet potato. Why? Because he was aligned with God. When we align with God, just think of the power that this man changed the history of our country. He changed the usage of the peanut and the sweet potato. Why? Because he was lined up. How about you?
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part 9 of More Than Conquerors. If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, part 8 of More Than Conquerors, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request part 8 of More Than Conquerors. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request part 8 of More Than Conquerors. or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.